Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We roll on in this final hour on Wednesday, October 1st. Red Sox lose 4-3 against the New York Yankees tonight, setting up a win or take all game tomorrow in the Bronx. And we'll see what happens. This was a tough one tonight for the Sox. Missed opportunities, as you just heard Will Fleming describe there on the final out call. When Sadon hit that ball to right field, I actually will say off the bat, I thought that had a chance and thought for a moment it was going to go out. Obviously, it did not. It goes into Aaron Judge's glove. David Bednar wraps up the save, and a frustrating one for this Red Sox team that, as we know, is shorthanded, but at the same time missed several chances to win this game. We're going to talk about it here from 11 to midnight. We want to hear from you, obviously. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here at WEEI on Red Sox Review. You can also text us at 617-779-7937. My man Tom Crisafulli still behind the glass with me as we close things out again this evening, talking about this loss, talking it through with you guys. And we'll have some sound from Garrett Whitlock coming up in this final hour. On top of that, we'll get you some more sound from the locker room as well. But missed opportunities. When I think of this game, I think of missed opportunities. There were some questionable moves, I thought, by Alex Cora as well that we'll dive into. And I thought Alex Cora managed a fantastic game in game one. There were some moves in this one that I think are worth second-guessing. We'll talk about it all night long here. You could talk about the Sadon Rafaela bunt when he had runners on first and second with nobody out in the seventh inning trying to break what was a 3-3 game at that point. Leaving in Garrett Whitlock as long as they did, 47 pitches, and he gives up the go-ahead run. And then, of course, we'll talk about this whole hour, I'm sure. But the decision by Kyle Hudson to not send Nate Eaton on the ground ball hit by Masataka Yoshida up the middle. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about so much tonight. But let's go to the phones because we have some callers that are hanging on. And again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Let's start off with Mike in the car. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Joe? Listen, Alex Cora, I swear, has got to be the most infuriating manager ever, because sometimes he will throw the book out the window and other times he goes by the book to a fault. I mean, all year people have been calling in and begging them to play small ball and to, you know, bunt in critical situations. And most of the year he hasn't done that. And then tonight, they bunt not only once but twice. But my biggest thing is actually how he's used the pitchers the last two games. Chapman last night, very close to giving it up. Only once this season, the entire year, did Chapman come in for more than one inning. That was against Philadelphia, where, if you remember, he gave up a home run in his second inning of work. He pitched an inning and a third. He gave up a home run in his second inning of work and blew the save. One of only three blown saves he had all year. Whitlock, he had a really solid year. He has a 2.25 ERA, except in games where he's pitched more than one inning, his ERA ballooned by more than a run, up to 3.58. 3.58, not a bad ERA, but the point is, in situations where you've gone to him for more than one inning, he hasn't been as sharp, he hasn't been as effective, and in two consecutive games, you have the manager bringing pitchers into situations that they haven't succeeded in all year. So I just don't understand that thought process.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate the call, and it's great to hear from you. As it's related to Garrett Whitlock in the usage for him today, I thought they rode him too hard. I understand you haven't used him since September 26th. So you haven't used him in a little less than a week's time. I understand he's fresh, and he looked really good in the seventh inning. That at-bat to Judge was just nasty, by the way, and that's going to get forgotten in this game when there was a runner on second, one out, and he strikes out Judge on three pitches. I mean, it was filthy. He caught him looking on a fastball or one of his sinkers, 90, I think it was 97 away to Judge. Then he gets Bellinger to fly out to end the inning. He looked really good in that inning. What we've seen from Whitlock this season is he is, as Mike was discussing right there, he's at his best when he goes an inning, maybe a little bit past that, but the two-inning mark, I thought that was one of the best moves of the season, was to limit those type of relief appearances and try to keep him to an inning, or maybe a little bit past that, but no more. You could see him tiring in this outing. You could see it. And you almost felt some doom coming in that at-bat with Austin Wells, the way he fought off pitches and ended up ripping one down the first base line that allowed Chisholm to come in to score after walking Jazz Chisholm. That's something that a fresh Garrett Whitlock I don't think would do. Walk. Yes, he walks batters, but still, when he's in that first inning of work, more times than not, it's three up, three down. Or it's maybe one base hit and nothing else. I didn't like how much they extended him. 47 pitches in this game. That's the most he's thrown all season long. And they don't go to Chapman in this one, but I thought Peyton Tolley could have been an option for Austin Wells, and I was a little surprised that he wasn't. Just at least have him warming in the bullpen at that time to have him ready just in case. To have that power left-handed arm, new fresh arm, left-on-left type deal. And they end up using Tolley. They end up using him to bases loaded, two outs. He gets out of the inning. Credit to him. But there were a couple of mismanaged spots in this game. The Sadon Bunt is another one. He's one of your hottest hitters. And by the way, if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. We're going to take you up to midnight. Like, Sadon is a fascinating case study in terms of watching guys on a day-to-day basis. And I say that because we know about Sadon's warts, right? He swings out of the zone too much, swings just too much in general, and he can get into these lulls because he's chasing pitches and not making hard enough contact, or maybe not pulling the ball enough. However, in clutch spots, he is one of the clutchest players in Major League Baseball. It's just a fact. I mean, Fangraphs has a clutch stat that they have put together that personifies where Sadon Rafaela is in terms of leverage, all those types of things. He's in the top 10 in all of Major League Baseball. You look at a qualified hitter, it's 145. He's 10 on that list. I would have him swing the bat when you have two on and nobody out, game tied at three. Just me. And that cost him, right? Because the guys were talking about it tonight. You put him in a situation that he doesn't have a ton of experience in. He's got three sack bunts this year, yes. But pressure pack spot, Yankee Stadium, I want him swinging the bat. And I think that was a big mistake tonight to try to have him move the runners, especially because it's Nick Sogard on deck. And Nick Sogard's a guy that can give you a professional at-bat. Maybe he hit a sacrifice fly, and that's probably the thought, especially when you have guys like Nate Eaton and Jerry Duran on base, two speed guys. But still, I want Sadon swinging in that moment. I think getting Bayo out of the game, and I definitely want to talk about that tonight because he was not sharp, but getting Bayo out of the game was smart. I think Cora was managing a good game till the seventh inning. And then, of course, Kyle Hudson. We'll talk about that play here as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jack in Connecticut. What's happening, Jack?
Hey, Joe. You know, I want to start off and just give a huge shout-out to Trevor Story, TS10. If you had told me in May or June or whatever the month when he had his god-awful slump was that, you know, he would single-handedly almost eliminate the Yankees, I would have told you were insane. But in terms of the Bayo move, pulling him early, I think it was an aggressive move. I think it was a good move in the sense that, you know, you were looking at this as a must-win game. he was giving up hard contact. Even his outs were hard. But the hard thing is, obviously, a lot of guys pitched, and I would have preferred that they had the ability to be this aggressive tomorrow if they needed to, which now they do, in a real must-win game with a rookie on the mound, and you don't know how much he's going to give you, how far he can go. And now just, you know, with the amount of pitches thrown tonight, you really don't know how aggressive they're really going to get to be with their bullpen.
Yeah, Jack, it's an interesting premise, and I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate the call as well. And he's right about Trevor Story. I thought that ball, Tom, you were watching the game. That ball that he hit in the seventh inning to center field, did you think that was out off the bat?
It looked like it, but Yankee Stadium, so, I mean, oddly built, and it was dead center, and you got to hammer that thing, especially at Yankee Stadium, if you want to go yard there. And just to get to the warning track, it was a heartbreaker, but he's been the most consistent offensive player this entire series. So you get up there, he gets a good pop on it, you think it's gone.
I did off the bat. It was interesting, Jazz Chisholm, and I heard Arcan talking about Jazz Chisholm, and I agree with Arcan, by the way, about the personality is in this Red Sox Yankees rivalry, and needing a guy to not like, and Chisholm has kind of become that guy for the Yankees. He was talking in the post game interview with Buster Olney about how he knew that was an out. I don't know if I believe him. I don't know. Maybe because he's played at Yankee Stadium now for a season and a half. But regardless, three RBIs today for Story. He's hitting the ball so well at Yankee Stadium, and yeah, he's been carrying this offense. This is an interesting note from at Red Sox Stats. And welcome back, at Red Sox Stats. We missed you. Story, Bregman, Eaton, Sogard, Yoshida are combined 13 for 30 in this series. Duran, Rafaela, Gonzalez, Narvaez, Ref Snyder, Lowe, and Abreu are combined 1 for 34.
The sneakiest guy in all of there who's been really good, Joe. Yoshida has been nails this series.
And when he came up in the seventh inning, I was like, he's going to get a hit. And he ended up pounding one up the middle. The problem is that becomes one of the defining plays of the game. And that actually perfectly leads me into my next call. Let's go to Brian and Drake. He's up next. He wants to talk about the play that I'm referencing, which was Nate Eaton not scoring on an infield single up the middle. What's happening, Brian?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. Yeah, that's, you know, these three outfielders that we got starting, Eaton, Duran, and Rafaela, right, combined for 34 home runs this season. If we still, and I know, I'm not going to say Mookie Betts. It's like, guy, that's old. You know, what are you still talking about him for? But if you had a guy that had experience, he would have run right through that stop sign to know there's two outs. I got to at least get two-thirds of the way down the line, getting a rundown if I have to. But you got to score there. But Nate Eaton doesn't know to do that because he's Nate Eaton. Mookie Betts would know to do that. Mookie Betts would have scored. Rafael Devers might have scored on that ball. But you got to run through the stop sign and take a chance. I get that Trevor Story's been hot. The season's probably over because we're probably not going to win tomorrow. But you can't
well, what
go
gets
into
you, Brian,
the season
Brian,
to the
I got,
Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, Brian, I got two things for you off that, and I appreciate you chiming in. So you put the blame on Eaton in that situation and not Kyle Hudson for not sending him.
No, because the guy has never been in a situation like that to know you're running through the stop sign. You have to do that in that play because there's two outs. I mean, I get that Story's up next and he's been hot. But again, two outs, it's got to be a perfect throw. Again, a more experienced player, a guy that has a lot of experience is going to know, hey, the way that ball's hit, that second baseman's got to get up. He's got to make the throw to first. And if he doesn't get the runner, then it doesn't matter anyways. I mean, if they get up and throw the runner out at first, there's three outs and you're off the field anyways. So why are you even stopping at third in the first place?
Well, he's stopping at third because he's getting a stop sign, right? I mean, he's trying to listen to his coach, which is what we want any player to do. And you got to think about Nate Eaton's stature on this team in Major League Baseball. I mean, this is a guy that has tried to scratch his way onto the Major League roster, and to his credit,
exactly,
he was able to make the postseason roster because of how well he played in September and the speed element that he brings as well. I place the blame on that situation with Kyle Hudson. Now, what's interesting in watching the overhead replay, and Brian, if you have an X account, or Twitter account, you should watch the replay from Talking Baseball, because they have an overhead, John Boy Media Talking Baseball. They have an overhead view of it, and I actually thought this was fascinating on a couple of different levels, because you watch the play, and it's the hard smash up the middle. The one element of this I didn't think about in real time was if Chisholm, after snaring it, after, you know, ground ball up the middle, him thinking about going home with the ball, because then Eaton would have been a dead duck. However, you his instinct is to go to first base, and you can look at the camera angle too. Volpe, the shortstop, is telling him to go to first base, and that's where I think the mistake from Kyle Hudson came. Is that you read that situation, and as soon as you see him throw to first base, then you break home, because Eaton does have that that top tier, you know, high percentile speed that you can utilize in that situation. Right. But to me, I don't know if I just can't place the blame on him to run through the stop sign. Now, we got a minute before we have to hit a break here. You mentioned that you think that the Red Sox are toast tomorrow. Why are you so confident in the Yankees winning?
Because they're relying on, you know, we've been very lucky to get through hold Judge in the ballpark, to hold Stanton in the ballpark. I think that you've got a lot better chance of Nate Eaton, Jaron Duran, and Rafael and not coming through in one game than I do us shutting them, those guys down on that side for three games in a row. I think that they have the reputation, they have the experience, and it might not be experience of winning necessarily, but they're not going to have plays like that. You're not going to have an inexperienced guy not running home. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. It bums me out, but I just hope that this is a wake-up call to the organization to maybe spend money in the offseason. And I know it's getting ahead of it. We got to watch the game. Maybe they will win. But even if they do win and they go up against Toronto, we're still going to have to see these guys. That I get it. They've had pretty good months and they've been good, but are these really guys that should be playing on a playoff roster the Boston
and Brian,
Red Sox?
I'm going to cut you off here. I appreciate the call. And again, 617-779-7937. We will share this nugget on the other side about really how unprecedented it is that Connelly Early will get the start here in a winner-take-all game. We'll have that and more on the other side after this on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That fly ball to center field that ended the top of the seventh inning. One, as I was talking about with Tom Crisafulli, I did think for a moment was gone. It was also the furthest hit ball today by any hitter in this game two of this wild card series between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Went 393 feet, expected batting average of 660. But it ends up just being a long fly out to center field. Fernando Cruz went crazy after getting this out. Now, I thought it was over the top in the moment. I do follow John Boy and John Boy and Talkin' Jake. Those guys are big Yankee fans. They did note that he does this when they're playing like the mediocre teams as well, and he gets a big out in the sixth inning. So, okay. Anyway, the Sox end up wasting that opportunity in the seventh inning, and they end up losing 4-3. And we're talking about a lot. We're talking about the decision not to send Nate Eaton in the seventh inning on the base hit by Masataki Yoshida. That ends up hurting the Red Sox. On top of that, Garrett Whitlock being extended to 47 pitches. We haven't talked about it yet, but Brian Bayo as well, having a short leash in this one. I actually did agree with Alex Cora on this one. 2 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. He only had 3 whiffs on 28 pitches, and of course he gives up the 2-run home run to Ben Rice in the first inning. But somebody just texted this in, and it actually we teased it before we went to break. Somebody texted in, how crazy that the Red Sox brought in a rookie who was in single A to pitch the 9th inning and are giving the ball to another rookie with 4 MLB starts. And no, that's not all correct. He's talking about Peyton Tolley as it's related to the pitcher that came in the 9th inning. He came in the 8th inning today. But Connelly Early, this is unprecedented stuff that's coming up tomorrow. And it's what makes tomorrow such a fascinating game. And by the way, the Yankees, they're throwing out a rookie on their side of things. The Walpole native, Cam Schlittler, who pitched for the Northeastern Huskies as well. But he has 15 starts under his belt. Connelly Early, this stat comes courtesy of at OptiStats. Connelly Early will be the first pitcher ever to start a winner-take-all postseason game within 30 days of his MLB debut. That's how unprecedented this is right now. Boy, oh boy. Big spot to put Connelly Early in. Again, 617-779-7937. Some other texts are rolling in right now. AC should have saved some pitcher bullets for tomorrow's game, knowing that we have a rookie. We went in all in on the pitching side of things, didn't have the hottest hitters in the game. Who cares if it was a lefty? Same old problems, bases loaded, nobody outs. Don't blow Yankees pitcher out. They had him on the ropes. And then somebody else, actually the same person, says Chris Murphy should have been on the roster. He has more experience. Yeah, I can see the argument for Chris Murphy. I can. I don't think his presence not on this roster, I don't think, hurt the Red Sox tonight. So that part of which I don't agree. It is insane. And this is where the Lucas Giolito injury hurts this team so bad. And by the way, again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox review. If you have any lingering thoughts about the decisions made in this game, this is the program to chime in. At 11:30 at night on this Wednesday evening, I got my man Tom Crisafulli with us here as well. But Lucas Giolito not being available for the series, it has this compounding effect on the way things are shaking out right now. Because you could have possibly used Connelly Early today in the bullpen. Maybe you could have gone to him in the 8th inning instead of having Garrett Whitlock get extended as far as he did, going an inning and 2/3. But now you really need him for this Game 3 because you don't have anybody else. And this is where the Red Sox injury bug hurts them so badly. They built all this depth on the starting side of things, yet no Cutter Crawford. Tanner Houck, of course, was out for the postseason and into next year as well. Hunter Dobbins, same thing. They trade away Quinn Priester, and he's going to be a part of a postseason rotation for the best team in Major League Baseball. That's where they shot themselves in the foot, I think. And a trade, to me, that never made a whole lot of sense.
Well, you bring up, you know, the depth not being there, and the Giolito injury does kill you in that end. But also, Bayo only going 28 in a game where you need Bayo to go at least 5, so then you can shorten the amount of bullpen arms you have to use, so then you have them tomorrow, if need be, with Early. So the texter saying AC taken out and emptying the clip tonight, I think is the move he's forced to make because Bayo was so bad tonight. He's forced to then play with the hand he's been dealt. Bayo doesn't have it. Go to the bullpen and just a full bullpen game from there, and you use 4 or 5 different arms. The only mistake I think he did make was leaving Whitlock in one guy too long. It was clear he didn't have it. Whitlock threw almost 20 pitches more than Bayo did tonight, and that just shows, you know, Cora having to manage with what he was dealt with tonight, Joe.
Yeah, you're spot on, and I think if they stuck with Bayo, this would not have been a close game. I think the Yankees would have continued to get to him. And this actually is a troubling trend. And by the way, if the Red Sox do get past this series, this is where you continue to be concerned about this team. Obviously, you feel great about Crochet, him being on the mound, how good he was in Game 1. But Bayo now for a month's span has looked pretty pedestrian after he looked like one of the best pitchers in the American League for about 2.5 months. The cutter's been a huge issue. He gave up the home run to Ben Rice on that pitch. But he just didn't have it. And that's disappointing for a guy that really took some big steps this year. So there's not like one person you blame in all this. There were a lot of little things that happened, and just collectively this team, despite being close and possibly being a third base coach send away from still winning this game, they didn't. And now we have to think about what's going to happen here in Game 3 of this series. We did tease this at the top of the show. Garrett Whitlock did speak after the game about his performance, the Sox ultimately dropping this game. And again, he gets the loss in this one and his first postseason appearance since 2021. Let's hear from Garrett Whitlock.
Most pitches of the season. Is that a different mindset heading into the outing? Is it anything different about what the role's kind of been the last month, two, three?
No, not really. Just try and go out there and get outs until AC come take the ball away from me.
How'd you feel out there?
What?
Go ahead, Richard. How'd you feel out there?
Felt good. Got tired towards the end, but, you know, thought I made some good pitches, and, you know, they did a good job.
And how much do you think when was it that you got tired? Was it after the first two outs of that inning? You got two quick outs and then you walked.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't trying to walk Jazz. He put up a good at bat and everything. And then Wells did a fantastic job as well. So, you know, credit to them.
When you got tired, was it a command issue, just not being able to execute and kind of losing the zone?
Yeah, I mean, definitely lost command. And, you know, unfortunately that happened.
How much is that just a bang bang baseball play? The ball goes down the line, it gets kind of stuck. Nate has to come in, and the throw is like that close in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Wells put a great swing on it, and I haven't had a chance to look at it, so not really sure where the pitch was located. But you know, he did a great job, and you know, Jazz has elite speed, and so you know, it was one of those things where it was a good play.
How would you describe the overall tenor and sequence of events tonight with Alex going to the bullpen early, Story coming through a couple of times to erase deficits, just the whole nine innings?
What is tenure? Like tenure?
Tenor, like the tone, the atmosphere, the back and forth.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought it was a great ball game. I thought both sides played really well. You know, I think you saw that with last night and tonight, and so, you know, hopefully we can put together a good game tomorrow and go from there.
Gary, you still have another opportunity tomorrow to advance, same thing like tonight. What will the mentality be of the group?
Take it one day at a time, and you know, come in tomorrow and try and put together a good game and go out there and win.
Yeah, a big spot for Connelly early tomorrow. What do you think? What have you seen from him? Just what do you think he might bring out there tomorrow?
Yeah, early's been amazing. You know, if you're telling me that, I guess it means he's starting. But
Alex said it. Sorry, yes.
Okay. Yeah, early's been amazing. Really proud of the stuff that he's done so far this year. You know, love watching him play, and so you know, really excited to see him.
Yeah, how confident are you just in the team's ability just to bounce back from a tough one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you just take it one day at a time, and so it's one of those things where the boys are going to show up tomorrow and put all the work in to try and get to going tomorrow.
After a workload like that, are you going to be able to pitch tomorrow?
I mean, I'm definitely not going to take the ball in my own hand. Thank you.
All right, so that's Garrett Whitlock talking after the Red Sox 4-3 loss here against the New York Yankees in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. Whitlock tossing 47 pitches, the most he has thrown in any outing this season. It is interesting to look at what the bullpen could be tomorrow and who is available. We'll talk about that in the lineup as well. But Steven Matz threw 24 pitches tonight. Justin Wilson had 23. He was really good. An inning and two-thirds, retired all five batters he faced. Slayton threw 18. He ends up getting tagged with a run on his line after Jaron Duran couldn't make that catch in left field. And that was obviously a big moment in this game. And I do think those outfield moments for Jaron Duran have just happened too many times this year. But You got the righty on the mound tomorrow. He's going to be in the starting lineup with Cam Schlittler on the mound. Tully threw seven pitches. Zach Kelly threw six. And you didn't get a roll to Chapman into the game. No Greg Weissert. He hasn't appeared in this series at all. And same with Kyle Harrison. I would be shocked if Kyle Harrison pitches tomorrow. Greg Weissert, meanwhile, maybe, if they feel like there's a matchup there with one of those right-handed bats like Giancarlo Stanton, who, by the way, has not done anything in this series. I know, I was one of those people that thought coming into the series, okay, if you're going to not pitch to anybody, maybe you still give that love to Judge because of what he's done in the regular season, even though he hasn't been a postseason performer. But definitely not Giancarlo Stanton. And he's hitless thus far in this series. But with Connolly early, I think they'd be lucky to get maybe four innings out of him. I am not expecting a five-inning outing. I actually had a buddy text me and say, what do you think? He's going to throw seven? I go, seven? No shot. If they get five out of him, they'd be lucky.
Seven!
Tom's been on it all night. Again, 617-779-793. Seven.
I wasn't expecting it.
It's all good. I caught you off guard. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Peter in Rhode Island. What's happening, Peter?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for being on. Listen, I was really upset in that game tonight. Number one, we could have won the game. We lost by one run. That clown show in left field who dropped the ball. Any high school senior could have caught that ball in left field. Jaren Duran dropped the ball, okay? And then there was the thing with the Eaton. This has happened before about a month and a half ago, too. Same thing, Eaton and Hudson holding them up. This happened about 2 months ago, the same thing, where Eaton didn't run home. We lost that game, too. So, I mean, there were so many things in tonight's game that I just... And you know one other thing I'm having a problem with? Why is Bregman getting a free pass in this step? Do you think he's a $40 million player?
Peter, it's an interesting question. It's actually, I think, one of the more fascinating questions. And by the way, obviously, I agree with you. Jaren Duran totally misplayed that ball in left field. The $40 million question about Alex Bregman. So there's pros and cons to this, too. And that's why I think what you've posed is super fascinating. Because do I think production-wise, is he a $40 million player? You look at the totality of this season in terms of the overall WAR that he had, games played. He obviously was hurt this year. No. However... he has had such a massive impact on this team from a leadership standpoint. And like every article that you read about this team, there's something in there about him guiding some young player or doing something to improve this team's fortunes. Like, they don't make the playoffs without this guy. I think he's changed the culture. But to your point about, you know, the production part of it, he did bounce into a big double play in the third inning. Went for three in this game. I don't think he's been bad, but has he had, like, the super signature moment? No, although he did have, obviously, the big insurance double in the ninth inning yesterday. So it's an interesting question. I think that's a super fascinating question. Do I want to sign him to, like, a six-year deal? Probably not, but we'll see. Like, they might have to, because this is the problem when you trade Rafael Devers, Peter. Like, you don't have as much leverage as you once did. So now, to get that production out of third base, they have to lock this guy up long term, because you figure he's going to opt out after this season.
The problem is he's not giving you a lot of production. He, you know, $40 million, you'd like to see maybe 30 home runs, 100 RBIs.
Yeah,
he's just not that guy.
No, I think he's been different since the injury. I think that's, Peter, I think that's without a doubt. I mean, he was in a funk going into that last week of the year where he kind of got his swing back a little bit. But he went 27 games without a home run before he hit one against the Yankees back on September 13th. That was shocking to me. I remember I looked it up. I'm like, wow, it really has been a long time for him since he's gone deep. And the power by and large, has just not been there for him as it once was. You look at the last, I'm going to just look this up real quick. You look at the last 39 regular season games for him, he hit two home runs. So now you add on these two postseason games, he's hit two home runs in a 41-game span. So, anyway, Peter, yeah. I appreciate the call. I appreciate you chiming in. 617-779-7937. Let's hit one more call, and then we'll go to a break. Let's go to Dylan in the car. What's happening, Dylan?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
All right. So, I was curious on where we, as in you, me, Red Sox Nation, stand with Alex Cora. Do you think he won game one more than he lost game two, and how does that make us feel for tomorrow?
That's an interesting question. I think he won game one more than he lost game two, but I don't think this was his best game. And here's why. I do think the way he rode things in game one with bringing in like Yoshida to pinch hit, stacking the lineup the way he did, knowing that the Yankees were going to have to go to a right-handed reliever because their bullpen is so right-handed heavy. They only have one left-hander in Tim Hill that they're going to go to. So I that plus Garrett Crochet, you know, getting him up to pitch 117, having Chapman get the four outs, it all worked out great. Today he made two mistakes. We talked about it a little bit before. It was having Rafaela bunt in the seventh inning. I would have had him swing away. And then on top of that, having Whitlock go as deep as he did. They clearly tired him out. We just played the sound from Whitlock, and they definitely ran him kind of too far. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better.
Okay, so you feel the same way, Dylan?
Yeah. I just think he got cute with it yesterday. He has an eighth inning guy and a ninth inning guy, and he tried to get more than one inning out of each of them respectively. I think another caller said you don't know when he's going to go by the book and when he's not, and I think that flip-flopping, that lack of commitment hurt him today.
Well, I think, it's an interesting deal because they rode Crochet to go 7 2/3. And as Crochet had said to Alex Cora, and Dylan, I appreciate the call. We're just going to have to let you go because we have to hit a break here in one moment. You know, Alex Cora did say that Crochet said, you're only going to need Chappie behind me. And that ended up being the case. They went for the kill shot. Chapman's been insane this year. And it clearly paid off because they won the game. I think today they just got a little too cute in certain aspects, like the Whitlock thing, like, again, having Rafaela bunt in that spot. I just feel like, as Lou and the guys were talking about, like with Rafaela, it's not like they do this. It's not in modern day baseball, you just don't do it all that often. So. And it ended up being a big out. I mean, it wasn't the reason they lost the game, but that was a huge out in that inning. That kind of shifted things in a Yankee Stadium a bit. And, of course, the Yankees win this one 4-3. All right, we're going to hit our final break. We'll come back. We'll finish out the calls, finish out the show right after this on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, wrapping things up here on Red Sox Review. We got about 2 minutes, so let's go to the phones one more time. Let's go to Charles in Mass. What's happening, Charles?
Hey, how we doing, fellas? You guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Love it. Awesome. All right, I got a couple opinions here. Honest, the first one is, whoever thinks Alex Cora is not the guy is crazy. We're not getting better than that. That's his honest truth. He's a great manager, and he knows what he's doing. I understand tonight wasn't the best night for him, but he is our guy, and if you don't believe that, you don't know ball.
I agree. Charles, I just want to just state, I am in agreement with you on that one. I have defended him so many times on post-game shows with people that call in that I feel like I always say the same thing back, but keep going.
Yeah, and then I 100% agree with that. Another one I got here is, honest truth is, if you're not nervous tomorrow, too, you don't know ball. Like, tomorrow's game three, huge game. Honest truth, Connor Early's either going three innings tomorrow or he's maybe going six innings tomorrow. Best of luck. I'm nervous.
Yeah, no, Charles, I agree with you, and I appreciate you chiming in there. I don't think he's going six. I think three is very much in play. I think the best that you could ask for is five. This is a rookie making his fifth ever start.
If you can get three, four, or five from him, that's money.
I think that's
more than Bayo.
That's true. Like, let's settle for three or four, and then let the bullpen take over. All right, big thank you to Tom Crisafulli. Didn't get the result we wanted. The series continues tomorrow. A winner-take-all game, two rookies on the mound, Cam Schlittler for the Yankees, Connelly Early for our Red Sox. We'll have all the coverage here on WEEI. First pitch coming up probably at past 8 tomorrow with the Dodgers winning their game. Thanks for joining us at Red Sox Review.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.